So we have been working our way through these dapim, peyam and beis, peyam and aleph at the top, and focus on the din of balayla and baderech, and that was in sepei, and then at peyam and aleph as we moved on, took us back to the question of malchus and yichud lechatchila versus yichud drab to be eved. Probabilities versus possibilities, and that had taken us to the end of Siv Beis. And then as we progressed in Pei Alpha and Aleph, we came across two major, major heterim in the world of Yichud, Baal Be'ir and Pesach Pasuach, and those were Si'ifim, Ches, and Tes, respectively. And then, last time we learned together, we had a chance to see some of the Agadah of the Yichud Sugil, the bottom payoff from an alpha onto the top of, which means we saw the bottom payoff from an alpha, it wraps around onto the top of payoff of a vase. The Gemara in that context, actually near the end, mentions a fascinating din of the notion of needing to do tshuva if you were niskavin to do an isser. And that takes us up to the two dots in the middle of Pei Aleph of a Din. Misyachad Adonino. Now the next din we had already seen at the very beginning. The din on the Pisca, Misyachad Adonino, that's where the Gemara discusses Achoso, the fact there is a Heter Yichud with Achoso, but not a Heter Dir that we discussed in the context of, that was a debate between the Rambam and the Rosh, between Shulchan Aruch and the Nosek Kelim and Sif Al. So we're really now up to the next, right before the next two dots. Like 15 lines off the bottom, Amar Rava. It's right before the Aleph of the Vilna Gaon, the Aleph of the Bach over here. The line ends, Amar Rava Misyachid. You have it? Again, we're three quarters of the way down, pay off of the base. Two lines before the two dots. Or the little letter bays of the Amish Benimit. Amar Rava. Rava has another hula in Hulchas Yichud. So far, we spoke about situations where just the number of people, or the type of situation, is matter the Yichud. And then we spoke about situations where there's no Isur Yichud because of some sort of positive relationship. Right? Earlier on Pei Alpha and Alpha had Baal Be'ir. The woman involved has a husband who is in proximity, and that's a Matir. And then in the immediate past Gemara, again, we had seen it earlier in Sephalot, the immediate past Gemara, the Mishnah already raised the issue of, you know, parents and children have no Isur Yichud. The Bach had expanded it to grandparents, grandchildren, and great-grandparents, great-grandchildren. The Gemara here, again, Rav Asi, the Amor Rav Asi holds, is also no Isur Yichud between brother and sister, or very limited, Isur Dira, but no Isur Yichud. So those are positive relationship between the man and woman are being Misyachid with one another, or the woman has a husband who's in proximity. Now Rav introduces another type of Heter Yichud based on relationship, but here it's a potentially negative relationship, and here it's a relationship between, not between the man and the woman in the Yichud situation, nor is it between the woman and some other man who's out of the room, her husband, Baal Be'ir, but here it's a relationship between two women in the room. Going back to the fact that we said in the Mishnah, the first din, the very first din of Hilchos Yichud, it appears in the Mishnah, is Lo Yisachad Adam Im Shtei Nashim. And not only is there an Isur Yichud, as we saw in the opening word, it said, between one man and one woman, that's Isur Yichud Daraisa, that's B'Seser, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, and according to all Rishonim. But once it's the three is a crowd, once you have three people, it's no longer B'Seser, no longer Isur Daraisa, but it's still an Isur Rabbanan. Lo Yisyachid Adam Shtei Nashim. And now Rava says, well, it's true that in a typical scenario, Reuven, Leah, and Chana, if they're not related to one another, it's going to be Nisr Yichud. But how about Rava says, not that Chana is Reuven's sister, or that Leah's husband is a few blocks away? But how about Chana and Leah have a relationship? What do you mean? The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Misyached Adam im Shtei Yevamos, im Shtei Tzaros, im Isha V'chamosa, Isha Bas Chamosa, Isha Bas Baila. You're allowed to have Yichud with two women. You're permitted to have Yichud with two women, an exception to the Issur of the Mishnah, if the two women are related in one of these ways. One of these five pairs. What are the five pairs? First is this Teich, and then we'll try to figure out what's going on and why. So what are, just to wrap our arms around the details. Shtei Yevamos, you know, let's work backwards to the list. It might be a little easier that way. Isha Ubas Baila, a woman and her husband's daughter. What do you call that?
Stepdaughter.
Right? Stepmother, stepdaughter. No Isra Yichud if the two women that you're alone with are a stepmother and a stepdaughter. Or, working our way back the way it's printed, Isha Vachamosa, a woman and her mother-in-law. So mother-in-law, daughter-in-law pair. No Isra Yichud with Chana and Leah if Chana and Leah are Chana's Leah's mother-in-law. Shtei Tzaros, so Tzaros, you know, are co-wives. Right? That's the official Arturian translation. That means they share a husband. They have a man who married more than one woman, which is Mutter Mi'ikra Din. It's an ancient takana by Ashkenazim, not against bigamy. Reuven Margolius was a brilliant Talmud Chacham in the latter half of the 20th century, who was a librarian in Eretz Yisrael. So I don't know if he said public shiur, but he wrote amazing svarim. So Rav Schechter points out that a lot of his svarim reflect the fact that he was a librarian. He sat in a svarim library all day long, day after day, week after week, year after year. And when people came and asked questions, he answered their questions. He was sitting in hours every day in the stacks. So he had like a frightening degree of bekiyas in all sorts of unusual, sort of out of the way, arcane svarim. And the svarim that he wrote reflect that. He has one sefer Margolius Hayam. His name was Reuven Margolius. A sefer Margolius Hayam on Masechet Sanhedrin, which is Daf Al Daf in Sanhedrin. But even his Har, he'll be quoting these like bekiyas from out of the way places. It's very fascinating. Most of his svarim are not svarim Masechtas. Most of his svarim are like svarim on sort of intriguing types of topics that people usually don't think about or write about. He has a very, very, very intriguing history of Mishnayos. He traces the writing of Torah, the text of Torah Shebaal Peh from Anshei Knesset HaGadol and the history of the Sanhedrin and the Psak Halacha from Anshei Knesset HaGadol to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and beyond. Heavily based on sources from Midrashei Halacha, like arcane sources from Chazal. Very, very interesting. He explains a lot of why Anshei Knesset HaGadol had 120 people, and why this happened, why that happened, like a lot of things it's kedai to see. Most of his sermons are like collections of interesting tidbits. So he has one of his collections of tidbits. He has a short article where he proves from multiple sources in Chazal that bigamy was rare, even when it was mutter. And he says that just from learning Gemara, you don't have to get into more esoteric sources. Just from learning the Talmud Bavli, there are multiple writings in Talmud Bavli that it was a rarity. And Chazal it was unusual. Bigamy was unusual, even when it was technically mutter. Okay, but it did happen sometimes. So if you have two women who share a husband, Chana and Leah are both married to Levi. If Levi is in town, it's Baal Be'er. Being Levi is in a different country. They're not Baal Be'er, but they are both married to Levi. They're Tzaros. No Issa Yichud with Tzaros. Let's just finish a list and I'm glad to take questions. Moving backwards more, is Shtei Yevamos. Two Yevamos. That means that these two women are married to brothers. So they could become, at a time when Yibam was practiced, as opposed to merely Chalitza, so they're not, they could be Tzaros. They could become Tzaros, right? Chana's married to Yosef, and Leah's married to Binyamin. They're married to brothers. So they, what do we call that? Sisters-in-law. And now, there are only four pairs here, but the Vilna Gaon and the Bach both point out there's a missing line in the way our Gemara is printed. There's a fifth pair. What's the fifth pair? You could look in the Bach or in the Gra, either one, Os Aleph. Isha Ubas Chamosa. A woman and her Bas Chamosa, her mother-in-law's daughter. What do you call that?
Her sister-in-law.
Her sister-in-law. Right? Your mother-in-law's daughter is your husband's sister. Right? There are two types of sisters-in-law. Sisters-in-law where there are two men in between, sisters-in-law where there are one man in between. Right? Either we're both married to brothers, or I'm married to, or this woman is married to the other one's brother. Right? Two types of sisters-in-law. So let's wrap our arms around the mitzias, just the data before we start to understand it. Rava says there's no issue yichud with two women if they are either sisters-in-law to one another, or their co-wives to one another, or their mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, or their stepmother, stepdaughter. These five relationships. And these five relationships, there's a nickname that we use. It's not so pleasant. They're sometimes referred to as the Chamesh Nashim Shasono Zu L'Zu. Five pairs of women who might hate each other. It is certainly true. It's clear Chazal didn't mean they automatically hate each other, because there's plenty of empirical evidence. There are plenty of situations. I'd be glad to introduce you to families where the daughters-in-law feel like daughters. They're very beloved to the mother-in-law. And there are plenty of families where sisters-in-law feel like sisters are very close. I don't know any families of tzaros. That's sort of out of style. And there are certainly families where step-parents and step-children have very close loving relationships. Baruch Hashem. It's not automatic. But it is true, statistically speaking, that the incidence, the frequency of negative feelings is higher than between two random women, unfortunately. The stereotypes are based on something. It's not always the case, but it is sometimes the case that these sorts of relationships generate a lot of negativity, envy, resentment, what have you. Rashi explains here and in Yevamos some of the dynamics that might drive negative feelings, animus, between sisters-in-law, between co-wives is pretty obvious. It's hard to imagine. Parents, sometimes they're very positive relationships, but it's so hard to imagine how that could be a wonderful relationship. And sometimes it is true. Sometimes there is tension between sisters-in-law. Sometimes there is, sadly, tension between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law. Sometimes there is tension between step-parents and step-children. I stress that it need not necessarily be the case, not only to clarify mitzias, but also it's important to file away for the future. These relationships do naturally, there's some built-in dynamics that could naturally degrade into envy, resentment, negativity. It doesn't have to be that way, and it's largely a function of the amelus and the decisions of the two parties. So mitzvah Shem, a couple of years from now, you will have in-laws. You will have siblings-in-law, and you'll be zeichem mitzvah Shem to parents-in-law. Not sure you can be zochet to tzaros, in the Talmudic sense of tzaros. Or if a person finds himself in the context of a blended family, and you have a step-parent or a step-child. So it doesn't have to be negative. So people make all those terrible jokes, that's just, you create a self-fulfilling prophecy, it's going to be negative. If you invest amelos into a relationship, it could be incredibly, incredibly positive. So yes, when we're having, I meet a friend a couple years after he's married, and he tells me that he hasn't yet referred to his father-in-law as anything. In other words, he never started calling his father-in-law whatever his wife calls her father. He never got comfortable calling his father-in-law Abba or Daddy or Ta. And he doesn't want to call him, Mr. So-and-so. That's awkward. So he just never calls him anything. He just starts talking to him. I had a friend, and this is not an uncommon situation. He sort of fell into that rut, and the longer it goes on, the more comfortable it is to sort of make a change. So, yes, and then you're not setting yourself up for success. Right. The moment you get engaged, if not sooner, you're referring to your fiancé's parents, however she refers to them, and vice versa. That's incredibly important. If they're her parents, they're your parents. That's important on a lot of levels. Okay. There are various elements of the shavuos to do to ensure these relationships in your life are positive. That's a longer conversation for a different time. But suffice it to say, it is true. Here it's not your relationship. I'm right now stuck with these two women. So is there an Isser Yichud? So Rava says no. Why? Because there's a fair chance that there is negativity between the two of them. I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. But there's an increased, more than, there's a higher frequency of negativity between these two women than between two randomly selected women. So although there is an Isser Yichud with me and two women, and again, as we had said in the opening sugya and payment bays, because there's a concern, a somewhat heightened concern, maybe one will cover for the other, but here there's a significant chance that there's negative feelings between the two of them. One would never trust the other with that sort of potentially embarrassing information. That's what Rashi explains. So no Zulazu. Rashi also tells us that this list appears in Yevamos as well. Where does this list appear at the end of Yevamos? He tells you Kuf Yud Zayin, Perkei Isha Shahocha. The very end of Yevamos is about the other nafkamina that will take question a moment. The other nafkamina in the Chamish Nashim Shasono Zulazu is the following. If a couple is married, so there's an Isra Eshazish. Can't be intimate with anyone else. You can't married woman can't marry anyone else. There are two ways. The first Mishnah tells us the end of marriage is get and misses abal. So if the marriage ends, the woman is free to remarry. How do you know that the marriage ended? So a get will have proof of either the get itself or some sort of other documentation or eidim about the get. How about misses abal? How do you determine misses abal? There's not necessarily any documentation. So in a typical situation, there are many things. We know the husband passed away, whether it was illness or injury, accident, whatever it was. But the Mishnayos, the end of Yevamos, talk about what if you don't, it's not clear where the husband disappeared. You know, trying to figure out, is he alive or not? Is the woman still married or is she single? Is she married or is she a widow? Is she allowed to remarry or not? So that was the classic aguna, the Tufas Chazal, was not modern day agunas typically. We know where the husband is, he's alive and well, but he's a recalcitrant husband who's being mean to his wife and refuses, even though they're separated, refuses to give her a get. That's how we use aguna in the modern day sense. But the Chazal used the term aguna. Chazal had solutions. When you have a fully functioning Beis Din with police powers, so that a recalcitrant husband can typically be handled. The Chazal were more concerned with the husband disappeared. So we don't know where he is. It's not a question, are we going to force him to give the get? We don't know where he is. He went, he got on a boat, he took a ship to India, and we expected to hear back from him in 6 months, and it's been 3 years. Is he shipwrecked? Is he alive on some desert island? Was he captured by pirates? Did the boat capsize and he perished? We don't know. So that's aguna. So the Mishnah says, tell us, three prakim, talking about what sort of evidence do you need to identify that a fellow is dead, to determine that a fellow is dead. So one of the major clues, the rationale is not for now, is you're allowed to accept edus of even an ed echad, even though you would think davar shebe'ever requires shnei edim. Mishnah says you allow the edus of an ed echad. It could be a man, it could be a woman. Ed echad works. However, the Tanam tell us, or the Amram tell us, Kuf Yud Zayin, but almost everyone is Neman to say Meis Baila, but not these women. If one of the Chamish Nashim comes in and says, yeah, Chana's husband passed away, Chana can remarry, in the back of our minds we're worried that maybe she's setting Chana up to be in a very awkward situation. She's going to remarry, then her first husband comes back, and then... Now she's toast. So those are the two nafkaminas in this list of five women where there's a potential, not automatic, but there's potential for heightened enmity is, in Yevamos, we don't accept their edos of Meis Bailo to allow this woman to remarry because we're worried maybe there's some other angle. And here in Hilchos Yichud, it's a kula. There it's a chumra. Here it's a kula. If the two women are together, we're not too... That's a situation where there's no iser. There's no... Is sir Yichud? You've been waiting very patiently for a question.
Did we say two sisters and a different guy? Is that Usher?
Two sisters. Here we're talking about, the only thing we're talking about here is whether two women have a potentially negative relationship. Now again, siblings could also have negative relationships. Anyone can have negative relationships. But there's a heightened, statistically speaking, there's a heightened concern by these five relationships.
We said a man and his sister is not a problem of...
Right.
How about a man and his stepsister?
Now, I think that the Gemara talks about the negative relationships between the two women. Because this third party... Whenever you have three people, so really the third person should serve the Shomer or Shomer for the other two. And indeed the Mishnah says, Shnei Anashim, Reuven, Shimon, and Leah. So Shimon is the Shomer for Reuven and Leah, and Reuven is the Shomer for Shimon and Leah. So why doesn't it work by Shtei Nashim? Right? Reuven, Leah, and Chana, let Chana be the Shomer for Reuven and Leah, and Leah be Shomer for Reuven and Chana. Right? So that's what he said. Then on Daf Pei and Beis, no, but there's a Nashim Da'ita Kal, so it's more, somewhat more of a concern that Reuven will induce both of them to participate in Chet, and then they won't cover for another. Then they will cover for another. But here, if they have a negative, they have a potentially negative relationship, it's highly unlikely that you would risk that. But if Reuven has a, I mean, Reuven has a negative relationship with this woman, he's saying, Reuven knows. Reuven with Chana and Leah, you never know what's going on between Chana and Leah. It looks fine, but maybe deep down there's a lot of deep-seated resentment. But Reuven and Chana, so if Reuven and Chana are step-siblings, let's say, so it's true, it may be that Reuven and Chana don't get along, or it may be, or step-father, step-daughter, let's say, or maybe they do get along. Now, Reuven, no, you're saying, let's say I know. Is Reuven allowed to have yichud with a woman whom he knows they don't get along at all? What's the chance that they would fall into chet if they have such negative feelings? I don't know that the poskim are makel just because I happen to know that I don't get along with this person.
I was also saying, are they considered siblings or not? Meaning in terms of halacha.
Oh, that's what you mean.
I mean, because if a sister, you're saying...
Yeah, that's... I don't remember if we discussed that when we spoke about parents and siblings in Sif Aleph. That is often a very emotionally fraught shaila. Because it comes up when... When you begin a second marriage, so the fellow comes and says, I'm marrying a woman who was married before, and she has children, and now they're going to be my stepchildren. So does that mean I forever have to be careful about Nagia, about Yichud? Or can I treat them like my own children? Or the other version is when a couple adopts. They're not able to have their own children, so they want to adopt. As you're adopting, so we're adopting this baby girl, we're adopting this baby boy. So a baby is one thing, but as the child gets older, we adopted a baby boy, so eventually he's going to be a big boy. So does that mean that his adoptive mother has to stop hugging and kissing him? She has to be concerned with yichud? Or vice versa, they adopted a baby girl, so once she gets older, so all of a sudden, the man who had been her father is suddenly never going to give her a kiss again, is going to avoid yichud? So that is machlokes that poskim. Most poskim assume that certainly if they're adopted or became a stepchild as an infant or as a small child, so then you assume that's the same as a natural child. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was Machmer. I think historically the Lubavitch Chassidim, it's a very, obviously it's a emotionally fraught child. There's a lot riding on that. And obviously, when it comes up in Lamaisa, that's something you have to make a shayla stop. And the question is also, at what point you adopted a baby? Discussed with a shechter not long ago, a situation where it was a four-year-old child. A couple got married, it was a second marriage, and there was a four-year-old daughter. So the question is, it was her daughter, her four-year-old daughter. So can her new husband, the shechter said, four, absolutely. Obviously, now is no problem, and you start now. You never have to worry in the long term. They're going to have a father-daughter relationship in Yitzchak, and there will never be an Yitzchak Gir, never be an Yitzchak Yichud. The question is, at what point, what's the cutoff? If you marry and she has an 18-year-old daughter, you're not going to say, oh, because you know they adopted it as a 17-year-old, you're not going to say, all of a sudden, there's no Yitzchak Gir, Yitzchak. There has to be some cutoff, but that's something that's a heavy-duty shayla, and it requires, as a shayla schacham, that requires a gedolei hara. But yeah, that is an issue that's sort of related, really more of a Sif Aleph issue. Here, this is Sif Yud. Take a look. Shulchan Aruch says, the beginning of Sif Yud, Mutter lehisyached, mishpei yivamos, ol mishpei tzaros, isha v'chamosa, isha v'baz baila, isha v'baz chamosa. All the five cases. Why? V'pneisha sona'os zo as zo, v'ein mechapos zo al zo. Because they might hate each other, whether outright hot war or cold war, and outright mamash hate, or there's stress, there's envy, there's resentment, there's animus, so that not very likely that they would cover for one another. So it lurking in the fellow's mind is this is a really unsafe, this is a really dangerous situation. Okay. And then the end of Sif Yud is from the next line in the Gemara. The Im Isha, coming back to the Gemara, the last line, the Rabbi said, Mutulis Misachad Adam Im, any of these five pairs of women, they're related in a way that's potentially negative. Or, here comes the sixth pair. The sixth pair is not a question of a family relationship. It's the identity, the status of one of these two women. Normally, Shtei Nashim is aser that a woman, in standard case, one woman is not a shemeres for the other one, but it is mutterim isha v'tinokes sheodas tam bia ve'enu moseres atzim bia. If to be misafir with two adult women is a problem, but to be misafir with a woman and a girl who is at an intermediate age, she knows, she understands, as Rishon explained, she understands what bia is about. Rashi is koloma. I mean, she knows the ta'am of bia, and she gives you a koloma. Koloma always means we're going to give a non-literal interpretation. It's ta'am in the sense that we've seen the Ramban la Torah use the word ta'am to mean perish. We've seen that often. It's actually somewhere, maybe it's rooted in this. Kalomar, mahi bia, she understands what bia is all about. She knows the facts of life. Someone explained to her the words of bia, and she understands about sexuality. She's old enough, if she saw something that it was untoward, she might tell so, it's very strange. Maybe even before she fully understands the facts of life, but she knows enough to know that that looks weird. They're going to that room where they're like, well, what's going on? Something's odd. They're going to that room, locking me out. And old enough to know something strange, and she might share that with someone else. Old enough, but young enough, the Amo Seres asked to be, she would not willingly participate. Rashi's mitoch katna. She's young enough, Adayin Olavasha Yetze. She doesn't yet have desire herself. She's at an intermediate age, where she's old enough to understand somewhat, but young enough to not be interested in participating. The logic that drove the Issa Drabanan, of Shein Nashin, is not relevant here because she's not interested in participating. This is what we discussed earlier in Sif Aleph. It's for that reason that most posts can assume that a female relative can serve as a Shomeres. Not only is a man allowed to have yichud with his mother, with his sister, with his daughter, and so forth, he can also have yichud with the grandmother and someone else. Because since there's no concern of her being a participant, so therefore she serves as a shomeres. Like here. Here's not a question of there's no concern of her being a participant because she's your grandmother. There's no concern of her being a participant because of her youth. So in Mela, she serves as a shomeres. So there's no way to have yichud with either woman. The woman and the girl is mutter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. That's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. The end of Sif Yud, v'chein. Halfway through Sif Yud, v'chein. In isha she'yesh ima tinokes kitana. If a woman, rather than two women, a woman and a child, and a girl. She'odas ta'am bia ve'ena maseret ha'asun bia. That's also mutter she'ena mizana lefanel fi she'hi megala es sonda. She is as much as she is a security leak. She's unlikely to be a participant, and therefore likely to share the information, and therefore she serves as a valid shomer. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Take a look Take a look. Take a look at Sif Yud Aleph. Sif Yud Aleph is based on the Rambam, I believe. Tino kashi pechusami bashalosh. The tino pachas the ventas. Mutuli sacheni ma'en. You're allowed to have yichud with the girls under three, or to have yichud for women to have adult women to have yichud with a boy under nine. So gazer el al yichud isha haru'i labia the ish haru'i labia. When they made the opposed isra yichud only if both the male and female participants in the yichud are ru'iyim labia. What does that mean? Just a little bit of halachic background. There are definitions. Rambam, I believe, began near the beginning of Masechta Yevamos, has a long paragraph. The Pirush Mishnayos, long paragraph, puts together the Gemara in different places. How you define the halachic gedarim of ma'isa bia? Just like the halachic gedarim of ma'isa achila that you probably come across. Kedai, but the achila is pras, achila kedarka, achila shalom kedarka, too hot, too cold, so on and so forth. There are also definitions for what constitutes a ma'isa bia. One of the parameters is that it only qualifies as a ma'isa bia if the male participant is over 9, the female participant is over 3. And just a word of caution. Just a word of caution. It obviously does not mean, Rahman Litzlan, that child abuse is mutter if the child is younger than that. That's obviously a horrific, severe aveira, but it wouldn't be called a ma'isa bia. Avodah Zarah is also a horrific severe aveira. Ritzicha is a horrific severe aveira, but it's not called Gilai Rayos. It's a different aveira. So it doesn't qualify as a Maisa. Rachman Litzlan, so the Lamai Nafkamina might be Issacharis. Whether it's called a Maisa or not, Nafkamina could be Issacharis, Nafkamina could be for subsequent status. But to have Rachman Islam, the beer with a 2-year-old, is a horrific chet, but it's not called Gilai Rayos. Falls under plenty of, there are plenty of other laws that you're violating, but it's not technically Gilai Rayos. Just like abuse that doesn't involve an actual act of beer is clearly many laws, but not Gilai Rayos, see here as well. But it's not technically deemed a ma'aseh beer. So the Rambam, as we're showing on the Rambam, is the only answer yichud. If it could potentially lead to something that would qualify as a ma'aseh bia, that requires that the male participant is over 9, the female participant is over 3. In other words, the way the post can play it out is the only nisur yichud if either she's bas mitzvah and he's over 9, or he's bar mitzvah and she's over 3. Big nafkamina for babysitting. Gotta keep track. If you're a babysitter and you're getting called in to babysit other kids, so you just have to make sure you're not violating yichud. The question is, well, 1 second. So I'm going to babysit for the four-year-old girl, that's a problem of yichud. I'm going to babysit for the 9-year-old girl, a problem of yichud. 1 second. Do you notice a problem here? Akasha. Yeah, we just said before, very good. So if you had quoted Gemara, that Finokas, who's in between, Yodas Tambia, Veinu Maseres Aslabia, there was no issue. She didn't return to the Shomeris with the other woman. All of a sudden, now there's a yichud. Is there a yichud 9-year-old girl? Not a yichud 9-year-old girl. 9, 10, whatever the ages are, it may shift. The post point may shift by society. How early kids understand some of the facts of life, and on the upper end, how early the taiva develops, which may shift from society to society. So, I understand. Here we're saying, Issa Yichud begins from age 3. There he said, no, until she's Moser Sa'as Nabi is not Issa Yichud. So, what's the talk of the difference? Important la'alacha. The Beis Shmuel points out the difference is Sif Yud is a case of Yichud Dirabana. It's her and an adult woman. Sif Yud Aleph is talking about a situation besesa, where it's one-on-one, the Yichud Daraisa. Is Yichud Daraisa applies as soon as either he's bar mitzvah and she's over 3, or she's bas mitzvah and he's over 9. But once there are more people in the situation, so then we ignore Sif Yud Aleph, and the girl who is of an intermediate age, Adas Tabiya, Meseres HaSlabiya, not only is there Issa Yichud with her, but then she can even serve. She can even serve as a shomer.